he just got really frustrated with that. Love
Talk Radio.
And, like, tried to snap it over his knee.
You know, we're never letting go. This time we can reach the sky. On a prayer we go higher than high. Yeah, why don't we get the big mistake? Cause it's something we can deny. Oh, this time we can reach the sky. On a prayer we go higher than high.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Yeah, in trouble at all.
Okay. Well, happy Wednesday, everyone. This is Linda in Buffalo, New York. I can't say sunny Buffalo. It's not sunny. It's kind of rainy Buffalo today. But we have the pleasure of having an hour of Beth Wyman's time today. Beth Wyman's a registered dietitian with over 10 years of experience, and she has so much to share with us, everything from some healthy eating to weight management to just, you know, everything that we really need to know about the wonderful world of proper eating and proper diet. So with that, Beth, I'm going to turn it over to your capable hands, and I know you have wonderful things to share with us today.
Hi, yes. So in honor of it being our spring break week here, I thought it'd be great to talk about family meal planning because it definitely looks different when you are planning out meals and thinking about more than just yourself for food intake, right? Like, so for me, it's planning for myself as well as my children. For some people, they're planning for more adults. And of course, the varying ages of children plays into different things too. It's very different when you have an infant versus a teenager. I feel like my 9-year-old is on that cusp where he's starting to look for snack foods that are like small meals instead of just like a couple crackers. And that certainly changes how we plan. Actually, one of our goals this week is to go out to Sam's Club, so like a bulk shopping, and get snack foods that he will eat that are like, you know, more than the little kid snacks that I'm used to keeping around, like peanut butter crackers or like squeezable applesauce isn't quite cutting it anymore. So we'll be looking for some bigger things. So I had, and this is an interesting sort of case on this, I had somebody who was trying to meal prep and meal plan for herself, her husband, and her children and do different food for everybody, right? Mm. And so suddenly meal prepping becomes this huge task that takes all weekend because she was essentially creating 3 different meal plans, one for herself, one for her husband, and one for her children. That's a lot. And that doesn't, I mean, if that works for you, sure, go for it. But for most people, that is way too much effort to be putting in. There are so many other things going on in life that you would probably enjoy much more than making 3 separate dinners every day. And so what we worked on and what I normally do is kind of create variations of the same thing. So for instance, like if we were doing, I'm trying to think of a good, like a good example would be if you're doing like chicken and rice with vegetables, right? And that's a meal that you know everybody's going to eat. It doesn't mean that you load up everybody's plate the same way, right? Like the kids, it's probably a bit more of like equal parts from each group, and then you hope that they eat it. Whereas the adult portion, obviously depending on goals, is typically half of your plate, the vegetables, and then the remaining parts for your chicken and your rice. So you're using the same food, but in different amounts. Makes it a little bit easier than trying to create all of these different meals. Or something where, like, say there are some people where we kind of change around when they're eating their carbohydrates, and so they might not have any rice with dinner. Well, you can still make it for everybody else, and it's not like you're trying to pick around it or pick it out, because you can just not scoop it out of the pan onto your plate. You stick with the chicken and veggies, and everybody else gets a scoop of rice. And so not only does it make meal planning easier, but it also helps with, like, the family social aspect of that dinner time, because you're all still sharing almost the same thing, right? It's not that, you know, there's kid food versus adult food or anything like that. You're all eating almost the same thing. And then you start to help avoid that, like, you know, I don't know, the quintessential, like, mom's on a diet, so she's eating different food stereotype that I feel like happened a lot in, like, the 80s and 90s. Like, mom's not going to eat dinner because she's on Slim Fast or something, or whatever it might be at the time. It helps. So it's also going to help, like, cultivate a healthy relationship with food for the kids, too, because they're seeing that adults eat the same thing that they're eating.
Yes.
But it helps ease the mental burden. It helps with the social aspect of it. So there's a lot that goes into meal planning, but we can make it easier. I think it's seen as this, like, it has to be difficult. It has to be intricate, but it can be as simple as just serving yourself a different amount from the same food. And then planning for leftovers. And you can make that. I know some people don't enjoy leftover food, but it also doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be just like reheating the exact same thing. I don't know if you do this or not with like leftovers, but kind of turn it into something slightly different. Where like what I usually do is for the week, I'll try to prep some protein for the week. So it, like this week I made extra chicken last night when we had dinner. So I've got some of that just in the fridge, and I'll make some rice tonight so that I have like leftover rice in the fridge. And then I can put that together in different ways. Or it might be that, like, I use the leftover chicken to make quesadillas, right? So very different than if I was just serving, to go with our chicken and rice example, chicken and rice again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm changing how we're eating it, right? Because quesadillas, you pick up and eat. And I'm changing the flavor, too, because then I'm going to mix it with, like, some taco seasoning and usually cheese, right, to hold it all together. And so changing how we eat it and the flavor. So there's ways to doctor it up, I guess, right, and make it feel new but still save yourself time. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah. I feel like that's one of the biggest hurdles is this time aspect of making sure that you can make food and make meals. And I mean, there's a whole industry of like 30-minute dinner recipes and things like that.
I know for lunch today I have some the chicken I baked the last night. I have two extra pieces, so I'm cutting it into strips and I have a head of lettuce, and I'm going to have chicken Caesar salad for lunch today.
Yeah.
So, you know, that way it's nutritious and using up, you know, those two last pieces of chicken that I have. If it wasn't breaded, I would have made probably chicken salad. I did that with a rotisserie chicken that we had last week. I had a rotisserie chicken. We had it for dinner. I deboned it and then chopped it up with celery and a little light mayo and made a chicken salad. So, you know, I just like to use up everything as much as possible.
Absolutely, yeah, using up those leftovers. And it's creating planned leftovers that's going to save some time during the week too. And you can, like, you know, making it feel new is helpful for getting it to be accepted by the rest of the family too. Because kids can get a little bit picky and be like, oh, well, I just ate this. I don't want to eat it again. Or it goes the other way and they want to eat it every day. But either way. So, it, you know, changing the seasoning a little bit can help with that acceptability. Or, I mean, with the chicken salad, you're doing the same kind of thing where you're changing the texture and the flavor of it into something new. Oh, did I hear somebody else join us? Or?
It's
yeah, somebody has joined us.
Oh, hey.
Country Boy, hi.
Hey there. Hey, Linda.
How are you guys?
Hello.
Good, good. I'm loving the way you guys are mixing it up today because even though most people, all the names have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent, we're creatures of habit. We really are. We fall into a norm and just go the same way, do the same way, get up the same way, bathe the same way, brush the same way. That foods do bore people when you tend to have leftovers or have the same thing over and over again. And I'm glad you guys are dropping some information on people to kind of give them an alternative of doing food and really enjoying food. I mean, even grilling makes things faster. Sometimes you get a chance to grill extra meat, just like you said, Linda. It might be barbecue or smoked chicken breast today, but it might be chicken salad tomorrow. It also saves time and energy when people learn how to do, like you said, Beth, just make a little extra rice and put it in a Ziploc and throw it in the freezer. So if it's brown rice, I hate cooking. It takes 20 to 30 to 40 minutes sometimes. And you may not have that time, but it's easy to grab a frozen bag of rice. Most of us that are not even great cooks are familiar with grabbing a TV dinner. Well, what's the difference between you cooking extra green beans and putting them in a Ziploc and get your Sharpie out and put a date on the bag so that you can turn it into a quesadilla, but 2 or 3 days later after we've accumulated the chicken and the rice and the extra noodles and stuff, all of a sudden we have this scrumptious soup that you would have never been able to make unless you had the smoked chicken breast and the extra yellow rice and all those wonderful things left over. So I'm glad you guys are just mixing it up and giving people an option. The last one, Beth, I just shared with 3 people a day that have eating, I don't want to say eating problems, they got eating habits. They eat the wrong kind of food. But how we talked about on the show, how you develop a relationship with whoever you shop with at your local grocery stores and make them aware that when you come in, you might need a little help making sure. And the last one, and then I'll shut up, as people start to spend more time in the grocery stores, if you want to stay away from the junk food, stay out of the inner aisles. Most of the outskirts, the outer aisle stuff is the nutritious, basic, fundamental things that you need to have in your diet. But as soon as you cut down aisle number 3, chocolate chip cookies are staring you right in the face. Back to you, Beth.
Yeah, the grocery store aisle thing is interesting. I mean, there is some validity to it, right? Because around the outside is where you're going to find, like, your meat and produce and dairy, but then what gets missed are are those nice whole grains. So you got to pick and choose your aisles, right? And typically you have an aisle where you're going to find like the rice products, and then you'll also, and then bread products are in a different aisle. Usually, I don't know. My grocery store, I think rice and pasta are in the same aisle. But you got to definitely pick and choose, and snack foods like cookies and crackers and chips tend to all be in the same aisle. So you can always just avoid that particular one. But yeah, there is that old sort of rule of thumb of going around the outside rather than just up and down every single aisle. You want to be strategic with how you go in to buy your food. Yeah, that's getting a little bit off topic from like the meal planning aspect, but it's worth noting, like, if you go in with a plan, right? And so if you sit down, and this is part of what my workbook goes through, if you sit down ahead of time, figure out what you're having to eat for the week, how much of it you need to be making so that you've got the leftovers that you need for other types of meals, and then make your grocery list based on that, not only are you going to get in and out of the grocery store faster because you don't need to go up and down every aisle, you know which ones you need to hit, but you will also save money because you're not going through and just sort of picking what kind of looks good or sounds good in the moment. You're going in with that plan of like, okay, well, yes, you know, whatever, this looks good, but it's not on my list. And so then it helps with it keeps you accountable to a list and helps save money in the long run too. You know, there's more at play here than just general healthy eating and well-being, like financially, and it makes a lot more sense to plan out your meals too and be able to use those leftovers, right? And then you get into the point of you're not wasting as much food, so there's less food waste happening too. A lot of good comes out of planning ahead. That little extra effort in the beginning.
Quick question while you're right there, Beth. Do women, I hate to put it on y'all since y'all do most of the shopping, do women still utilize coupons and discounts online and stuff the way that they used to, or has that changed, Beth, Linda?
I think that anybody can go grocery shopping, right? And societally, that might be what you're used to seeing. Coupons still certainly exist, and it depends where you go shopping. I know that when I go to Aldi's, that grocery store doesn't take coupons, so I don't use coupons when I go grocery shopping at Aldi's. So it depends where you go, but yes, there's still that. There's still a weekly sales circular that actually gets printed and mailed, Well, either mailed or in the newspaper on Sundays, right? Like that still very much exists and can be a huge resource when meal planning. Like if you wanted to go that extra step into budgeting, you can go by what's on sale for the week and use that in your planning process to help reduce the cost even more. And then you get into cool things like usually the produce that's on sale is the produce that's in season. And so you actually end up eating seasonally without realizing it. So other cool things start to happen as you get into that as well. And it all marries together very nicely. So when people come and they're really overwhelmed because they're like, well, I want to eat more whole foods and I want to eat seasonally and I have diabetes and this and this and this. And I'm like, well, it all fits together nicely. It's just you don't have to label each component of it. You can just look at it as general healthy eating, and you end up balancing out your carbohydrate intake throughout the day, and you end up eating seasonally, and you end up saving money, and you end up eating more whole food, and it just almost is like a byproduct of the meal planning, right? It takes the focus back to something very simple so that it feels doable and achievable, and by achieving that one thing, that one task, that one actionable step, all of these other things start to fall into line too. But it's less overwhelming because you're focusing on the one action point.
Beth, let me interrupt you one more time. I know Linda mentioned the other day that when she's shopping for two, not a whole family of kids and grandkids running around, but her and Ron. She doesn't buy a whole lot of cauliflower, so she prefers to buy it frozen so it doesn't spoil. But for us country folks, I asked about coupons. When I'm in Atlanta, I shop at the International Farmers Market to buy all my fruits and veggies and things, which means I get a better deal. But again, somebody that's not buying a whole lot of foods still can take advantage of shopping at the local markets, and especially now in the country, it's seasonal. You ride up and down the road, and people are selling potatoes and green beans and all those wonderful things and honey on the side of the road. But do you guys shop at the market ever to buy your fruits and veggies and things? And do people still have – I mean, we have two deep freezers and two refrigerators at my house. So we're not waiting for the pandemic to happen to have extra supply of food. Does anybody out there besides me
Being in the north here, our farmers markets really are limited really just to the summer. And our local one, unfortunately, is like 10 to noon on a Sunday. Well, that's when I'm in church. But we do have you know, markets, but, you know, for some fresh fruit and things. But, again, it's a lot more limited, at least in Buffalo, where I am, because of seasonal. I mean, it's, you know, we don't have the open-air farmers, you know, stands by the side of the road as much in this area.
That's really, really dependent on where you are in the country. So warmer climates, so down south, out west, or still in the southwest, I guess, you're going to find more open air markets. You're going to have more access to those direct to consumer fruits and vegetables straight from the farm throughout the year versus, like, I'm not in Buffalo. I'm in upstate New York, though, and nobody's growing anything right now. It's not a growing season. So right. Unless it's in like a greenhouse or something. So we have markets. They're significantly smaller this time of year. The two large ones around me go inside. And so there's some availability, but those large outdoor markets aren't going to happen again until like May. And we'll get it maybe like May to September. So it depends on where you are in the country to have that access or not.
Well, don't pick on country folks too much now. You can take the boy out of the country, which you can't take. I live in Atlanta most of the time, but even when we're talking the great city of Atlanta, the urban communities that don't have a Walmart or Kroger across the street, the closest one is 6 to 8 miles, we're still speaking to the consciousness of America, regardless on what part of the world you're in, the north or the south, or you're in the urban or suburban. We're still talking great eating habits. We're still talking about saving money. We're still talking about not boring your family with the same meal. So I hope you guys are really picking up what Beth and Linda are putting down. There's enough fruits and veggies to, you know, to replenish the world around based on its season where you are, but we want you to have the best wherever you are.
Yeah, and, you know, access is different for everybody. And something that I know that specifically I've seen in Albany is we have areas that are considered food deserts, right, where the access to food is very limited. And really where those people can conceivably get food easily becomes the corner store that they can walk to. And so there are different programs that bring either small farmers markets or just produce into those areas to improve access. So they might like routinely have either a market or a truck coming with produce at least once a week, a couple times a week, where they can still get those things even though they're living in what's considered a food desert where it's hard to access grocery stores, fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of different barriers, I guess, to eating, and it changes based on your locale, right? So it changes based on where you are in the country, what you have access to in terms of fresh fruits and vegetables, where you are even within your local geographic. Is it urban, suburban? There's additional issues if you're in a rural area, which is kind of interesting because you might be growing food, but if you're not also on the side, growing and cultivating everything that your family needs, you may still be driving hours to go to the nearest grocery store to get what you do need to round it all out. So there's a variety of different food access issues that can change how you're planning out your meal, right? If you need to make sure that what you're getting can be processed and stored, either frozen or canned or whatever, so that you are only going to the grocery store once a month. Do you have room to process and store all of that, right? If you're in an apartment, you might not have room for a chest freezer, so things might need to be canned, which is not bad, right? Canning gets this sort of bad rap as being super high sodium, but it depends how it's done, and it's actually become much, much easier to find low or no added sodium foods in a canned version. Sure, the texture is going to be different, right? A fresh green bean and a canned green bean are not even remotely close to the same texture, I feel like. But at the end of the day, it's still a green bean. It's still better than nothing. And I think that that gets a little bit lost when we're typically talking about, like, quote-unquote healthy eating. I forget, nobody can see my air quotes because we're on the phone. When we're talking about, like, quote-unquote healthy eating, we forget that, like, something is always going to be better than nothing, and that somebody's best might be canned green beans or whatever vegetable, right? Like, and that's still better than foregoing it, right? And I feel like there's this narrative out there that, like, if you're not eating fresh, like, raw, local, organic vegetables, that you're doing it wrong. And that's certainly not the case. That's just one option. And there are plenty of other options that are still going to be a better choice than excluding the vegetable entirely or excluding a protein source entirely, even if it's not like a local grass-raised, grass-finished beef. Like, it, you know, we do our best with all of it, which is not necessarily perfect. But I don't know. I've been dealing a lot with that narrative lately of, like, well, I'm not going to bother because it's not organic. And I'm like, you still need to we still need to put it in somehow, even if it's not perfect. Not saying organic right. is necessarily perfect either. And I know we've gone over that quite a few
times. Yeah. I don't have any health issues. I don't have any weight problems. But I'm sitting here in the parking lot. The sun feels wonderful here in Helen, Georgia, up in the northeast Georgia mountains. But my spirit is really just marinating in the information that you're sharing today. Instead of us waiting to get to the end of the show, I know now I can feel my spirit that some people out there listening to what you're saying. So, Beth, can you do us a plug? You mentioned earlier, before I interrupted you, or how you can go to your website and download certain information. Can you do a plug for me this early part
yeah.
of the show, if you don't mind? Because people
are
wanting to know more.
Yeah, my workbook is available on Amazon. I believe it's typically linked in the show notes for this. It's also on the Optimize My Life Facebook page. I got to double check and make sure it should be linked on my website, but I know I've been changing some things, so I got to make sure it's still there. But that is the easiest way to order it. It's through Amazon. So it's called Mindful Meal Planning, and what it walks you through is SMART goal setting, which is actually a business term that I'm now applying to health improvement. So it's SMART goal setting and then breaking down that larger goal into smaller actionable steps to create success. And then along with that, it's folding in, right, the idea is that you're probably buying it because you want to work on healthy eating. So folding in what are healthy food choices, nutrient-dense food list is right in there to help make food selection. And then how to plan out meals, what needs to be included in a breakfast, in a lunch, in a dinner, which are all things that we've done, like, full shows on. and then building out that plan for the entire week. Okay, pick two breakfasts to rotate. Are you doing leftovers for lunch, or are you making something new? Dinner, my suggestion is typically cook 3 to 4 nights a week, plan leftovers or takeout for the other one. Otherwise, you're just overkill. So that's all in there, and then you use that to build your grocery list. And then the rest of the week becomes super easy. There's reflections at the end of every week, what went well, what didn't, what do you want to work on for the week ahead. It's going to help you improve. Because it's not about, like, tearing yourself down that you didn't do it right or you didn't do it well. Like, if it didn't work, there's some sort of reason. Either you need to break your goal farther into a smaller step, or something big got in the way and you need to figure out how to navigate around that. Because chances are it's going to come up again, which, like, sounds horrible, especially if it's something big and terrible that came up. But, like, chances are things are going to keep happening. That's just part of life. Very rarely do I have somebody who can solely focus on themselves with nothing ever getting in the way. That's not how life typically works. But, yeah, so that's the entire workbook, and it takes you through an entire year. Really, by the end of, like, 4 to 6 months, you're going to see night and day difference of how you're eating, how you're interacting with your food. The planning becomes second nature. But I did do the workbook for an entire year to get the best effect out of it. I do think I'm toying around with making like a 3-month version too. But a year is definitely where it's at.
Beth, guess what I hear happening in the spirit now?
What?
If I'd only knew then what I know now, now that I know better, I can plan better, I can be less stressed about providing a good meal for my family. It gave me an alternative to fast foods if I was to put a little bit more thought into it and go check out Beth's calendar on how you can do like Linda said, turn the chicken, the rotisserie, into chicken salad in just a few minutes. I'm loving it, you guys. I told you, no health issues, but spiritually you're feeding my spirit that if the health conscious of America says health is your first wealth, then we're loving what you guys are growing in our spirit right now. Healthy eating habits, better planning, less stress. And you are not only loving you, your family's loving you and got more time to love on you. Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, and so the stress component's interesting because if you are living in like a state of high stress, it's actually harder to lose weight that will stay off, I guess I should say. Because there are some people that get really stressed that don't eat enough consistently and end up losing weight that way, but it's typically also muscle mass and just not a good thing. But generally speaking, when you're stressed out, it's also really difficult to lose weight. So by reducing some of your own mental load and your own stress, it just makes it that much easier too, if that's part of your goal. Yeah, so like I said before, it all works together. There's this, it's all there for a reason. One of the other things that I like to do with leftovers, I can't really get my kids on board with this yet necessarily. So, but I like to put things into scrambled eggs. So like beans, cut up vegetables from the night before, and dice it all up, mix it in with the eggs, and usually turn it into a burrito, but mixing it in with scrambled eggs instead changes the flavor of everything, right? It's a break from your traditional breakfast that tends to be more like sweet focused, right? So it's providing a savory breakfast and getting in vegetables first thing in the morning, so helping with that overall veggie intake. It just breaks up some of the monotony as well. Okay. To go with scrambled eggs with, I usually do beans and vegetables. You could do, I've heard of other people that do like leftover chicken or pork or whatever into them too, but mine's usually beans and veg. It's a completely different flavor.
I know that my mom would always, even with pancakes, dice up some apple and throw the apple into the obviously blueberries are a simple one too.
Yeah.
But whenever she made pancakes for us, she would always add some fruit into it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I find breakfast is easy to add whole grains, so some fiber. It's easy to add in fruits and vegetables. Fruits. And then it becomes a little bit more difficult, and it feels more like thinking outside the box when we start to try to add some protein to it. But this is where, like, a Greek yogurt comes in handy because it's higher protein than regular yogurt, or doing eggs or egg whites makes it a little bit easier. Sometimes if I really just want a higher carb breakfast, it is what it is, and I throw some collagen powder in my coffee to round it out and make sure that I'm still getting where I need to be. So there's all kinds of ways to make it work. But that planning ahead is what lets you get there. And that way you know you have the stuff on hand that you need and that will be tolerated by your family, mm-hmm. I guess. Sometimes that's all I'm looking for, is for it to be tolerated.
Now, I'm going to throw a hardball, I call it. Sometimes in the country we have to give people what we call hard love. We tell them the truth. I've learned a few things being an old country boy. One of the things I've learned about change and about life and eating and all those things, change is inevitable. It will happen whether you want it to or not. Now, the experts, don't ask me who they are. They just call them the experts. Surveyed all these people in the world and says anytime you try, attempt to change your life for the positive, it always, always, always works out for the positive. Watch this now. Even if it does not work out the way that you had originally planned. But I can assure you that if you refuse to change, don't want to change, if you don't see yourself eating better, if you don't see yourself healthier, so is a man thinker, so is he. We're equal in essence. We're just different in function. I feel a releasing in the atmosphere today that somebody out there has been waiting to hear, how do I get my life headed in this direction? Linda, I know you always have the wonderful, wonderful story that everybody can relate to. Give me another piece, sweetie, if you don't mind.
Nothing like putting me on the spot there, huh?
No, but you always, the reason that and I can do that with you and Ron and Rick is I don't care what comes out your mouth, it always has a happy ending. And I'm just one of them country folks that love stories that have wonderful,
not so good at the beginning,
but you always end up so wonderfully regardless of what you have to say.
It's just a humorous story, but you know how sometimes you take shortcuts with cooking something. So I had my older brother's family, Emily, his wife, and the kids, well, mind you, they're in the mid-20s now, but they were much younger. Beth, they were probably your kids' age now, back then. But we had shish kebab, and we liked to serve it over rice. And so I used the boil-in-the-bag rice. Well, mind you, my sister-in-law is from the Philippines. She knows rice. So I had the instant rice, the success rice, I guess it was called. And my sister-in-law said, "What is this?" And my little five-year-old nephew said, "Oh, Mom, it's great. It tastes just like plastic." So
sorry. I'm going to unmute you so I can laugh in your ear.
Sometimes taking a shortcut doesn't always work, especially with somebody who always has a rice cooker going on constantly, and rice is a staple of her diet. So
you got to know your audience. Yeah.
So it sounds like your rice is out of this world, Linda. Oh my Lord. See, that doesn't that do the spirit good? It didn't have to be that great one because you made me laugh and I got a little tear trickling in my eye. Lynn Kane reflects that in all the shows that we do. It's just being kind. You don't have to run up to somebody and say, well, look, you need to go on a diet. Look, you need to lose weight. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I love you, Linda. I want us to go for a walk in the... I didn't say let's go to the gym, let's work out.
It's a difference between saying, you know, when I look at you, time stands still, as opposed to saying you have a face that would stop a clock. You know, it's how you say things.
And I'm exposing my girlfriend because every time I call her, that's what I call her, she's a full-grown woman. Girl means immature, irresponsible, cannot provide. She is not nowhere close to being a girlfriend, okay? I just don't call her associate. She's one of my best dear friends. She's always, always busy raising three girls, cheerleader practice, ballet dance, a recital, the violin, her rehearsal, all these things. She's always going somewhere in a hurry. And my mom, before she passed, she told me to hurry up and slow down. But she had me just cackling the other day like you, Linda. She said, country boy, we're talking health and nutrition and stuff out of nowhere. You're starting to hit me with all this health and nutrition stuff. But you really, really got me thinking. And I was going to walk in the park the other day, and a friend of mine, Beth, she just called me up as soon as I was thinking it and said, hey, you want to go for a walk in the park, Linda? And it just really cast my soul what you were saying. And she says, I want to ask you a question. I said, only if you want to know the truth. She says, I'm always running late for stuff. Does running late count as exercise? Y'all get it later.
Well, we remember the news. All the people that were running late to get back on the ship missed the ship, and it was their own fault. Sometimes you can run late, and it's okay, but sometimes things have to go on without you if you run too late. So,
yeah,
but if everybody could bless themselves, my grandmama used to say, baby, it's a blessing to be a blessing. Shakespeare wrote it and gave it to Hamlet, to be or not to be. Is that the question or is that the answer to the question? Beth, are you to be? Are you the solution? Are you the answer? Are you the voice that we've been looking and waiting and praying for? And because you're doing what you're doing, Beth, and taking time out of your schedule, away from your family, away from your business, to share it with you, oh, I forgot to tell you, we're in the information stage, and knowledge truly is power. You're empowering us with the information that you've been sharing with us. We cannot plead ignorance anymore. Forgive them, Father, because they know not. If you know not, life is knowing not is a choice. Ignore is the root word for ignorance. Now that you know better, you can do better. You're going to keep providing this information to us, Beth. You're going to keep giving us links. You're going to keep giving us health tips. You're going to show us how to save money. You're going to show us how to eat healthy. We're going to do those things because we've been looking for you. We've been waiting for you. So you've actually been practicing this for a long time, doing unto others before they do unto you, because the love that you're giving away, sweetie, is going to eventually come right back to you. Back to you, Belle.
You know, can I just interrupt one quick second? Somebody has been on the line with us and hasn't said, hello, who's that area code 678? Could you just say hello?
Hello. Yes, hello. This is Alice Williams. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've been talking with Country, and he invited me to join in.
Welcome.
I'm enjoying listening. Lots of good, healthy ideas. I could lose a pound or two, so I've been trying to get out. It's more healthy. I don't have a family that I cook for, so I must admit, I do a lot of fast food type stuff just because it's easier for just me. Sometimes on the weekends, I'll go and buy food, and I like my freezer. I have a freezer full. I used to have a family, but I don't always get out to cook every day. I don't. But that's something I need to start doing because that is the most healthy way to eat. So I'm enjoying this.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Yeah, when you make it yourself is, even if it's very basic, it doesn't need to be anything fancy, but making it yourself, and if it's just you, meal prepping becomes so easy, and then you're essentially making yourself, like, frozen dinners that you can just pull out and reheat so that you're not cooking every night, because that can get really tedious when you're just doing it for one person.
Exactly.
So, most recipes are made to cook for 4 to 6 people, and so you make one and freeze some of it. A couple of days later, make another one, freeze a bunch of it.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I just have to get into that routine. I work from home, so I work a lot of hours because I'm sitting at my desk, and that's what I tell my boss, my manager, you all get more work out of me. Because I'm at home. I get up and my desk is there. I know emails are there. So I'll start working on them. And I don't always get up to make sure I'm eating at the right time. I skip a lot of meals and all the bad stuff that I shouldn't be doing. But I've just got to get into a better routine. And hopefully country boy is going to be able to help me with that.
Most people don't know that country is cooking was my first love. I have a master's in culinary arts. I cook 14 different types of cuisines. I learned Southern style cooking without the pork from my grandmother, Oriental style cooking. And most people, especially nowadays, people that don't eat a whole lot of red meat and prefer chicken or fish. So 90% of the food that I cook on high. And I can show how anybody that's never even cooked a meal before how to prepare 2 to 3 veggies in less than 7 to 10 minutes without burning. So, you know,
one
of the things that you love to eat, fish is quick. And then the veggies. Once you learn what Beth is going to show you on that balanced diet and how to cook a few extra green beans and throw them in a Ziploc and have those on Thursday and not Monday again, we're going to work this thing out. So you guys go ahead and carry on, Beth. Back to you, sweetie.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, country, for inviting me.
No, thank you for showing up, sweetie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about making it easy, right? Keeping it simple, making it easy. If you get super into it and love cooking, then, yeah, go ahead. Make it complicated. Enjoy it. Do whatever you want. It's always evolving. It's always flowing. So I love to cook. I hate doing dishes, but I love to cook. And so would I love to make something complicated in the kitchen? Yes. However, the level of effort that takes from me to then sit down for 10 minutes and have my children hate it isn't worth it. So I know that that'll come back eventually, but right now my entire life is focused on what is simple, what is healthy, what is quick. What's going to get us where we need to go, it can taste partially decent, and we can all move on. I have cookbooks where they're delicious recipes. The ingredient list is a mile long because it's all different spice blends, and then take time to actually roast things instead of short-circuiting it and just sticking it under the broiler instead because it's going to still give it that same browning, but just a lot quicker. If you ever on here hear me talk about roasting vegetables, I did not roast them. I chopped them slightly smaller and put them under the broiler. Takes a fraction of the time and produces a very similar result, where you get some of the browning and the sweetness comes out of the vegetables, but it doesn't take as long because I don't have an hour to cook dinner. Somebody needs me for something, guaranteed, or I'm not home. So, yeah, it's everybody's at a different spot and a different level of enjoyment with what they want to cook. But I've really found that it resonates with a lot of people to have those simple, quick meal options where you know it's still going to fuel your body well. And that's my goal for everybody.
And, you know, when you talk about meal planning,
No, all I was doing, it wasn't a joke. It was just saying that was very well put. Mom, happy Mother's Day. And she looked at me through the phone like, happy Mother's Day. Go away. I don't feel like being your mom today. No dinner tonight. Happy Mother's Day, Beth. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, what I was going to say, you know, the important thing of meal planning is making that list and sticking to that list when you're in the store, or even if you're, you know, ordering your groceries online. We had gone to the store, I think, 3 times in the last 2 weeks without a list. The one thing we really needed was batteries for the doorbell. And so our doorbell was out of commission for 2 weeks because we did not write it down. It's fixed now. But it's just the thing with, planning ahead. That's something I hadn't done. We kind of like, that looks good. Let's throw it in the cart instead of planning. So then you get home. Oh, I was going to make stuffed shells, but I have no ricotta cheese because, you know, I bought the shells, you know, and didn't buy the cheese to go in it. You know, so things like that, you know, if you're going to, and that's why your workbook is so, you know, it really trains you to the focus and, take those steps. You know, it may seem like a silly step to write down exactly what you need. But when you get in the grocery, at least for me, Ron does a lot of the grocery shopping. But for me, you go into the grocery store and you get kind of like overwhelmed. There's so much there. There's so many selections. There's so much that I can easily forget exactly what I came in for unless I have it written down. And so we have been doing that for the last 6 months or so, just being proactive and making a list and sticking to it.
Linda,
it makes a big difference.
That's a spiritual vitamin. That's a spiritual note. It is written. Write it down and make it plain. One thought, but if you do not write it down, you do not have a written plan. What is the old saying, Beth? If you do not plan, you plan to fail.
Oh, you plan to fail. Yeah.
So you're setting yourself up for a stress attack and running up and down the aisles and wasted 18 extra minutes because you didn't have a list focused on your son. And buy the things that you came to buy and get on out of there.
And this is why I order my groceries usually, because I find that I don't buy extras if I order my groceries. I don't see it, right? It doesn't accidentally fall into the cart or anything.
Right.
And I end up saving if I just order them, even if it's like the extra, I don't know, the grocery store around here, I think it's like $5 for if the order's under a certain amount, there's like a $5 service charge. That's still cheaper than all the stuff I was going to throw in the cart.
That's true.
So
that is so true.
It's worth it.
I was just going to say, I agree with Beth where if I go out into the store, I'm picking up everything. And I'm one of those people, I go up and down each and every aisle because I'm browsing. I'm browsing. And I'm just, that might be good. That might be good. But when I order it from home, that means I have something specific in mind that I'm wanting to make. And so I've started just placing orders online from Walmart, or from Kroger, and it's easier. And earlier you asked about coupons. Kroger actually has digital coupons where if you sign up for their app on the phone, you get coupons, and they're just like regular coupons. When you see something you want, you just click on it, and it will deduct that amount from your cart, from your total at the end. It's really neat.
Yeah, couponing has come a long way. It's not the cut them out on Sunday that it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Excuse me.
It has certainly evolved.
But again, we're talking about working smarter, not harder. Time is money, they say in the country. You're saving yourself time. You're saving yourself the drive. You're saving yourself the stand in the line and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
You can utilize your time better by just planning. It seems simple, and I'll drop one more and then I'll hush. There's five levels of intelligence. The first level of intelligence is called smart. We're just talking about working smarter, not harder now. Now, the second level of intelligence is called intelligent. The third level of intelligence is called brilliant. The fourth level of intelligence is called genius. But you'll never guess, the fifth level of intelligence is called simple. Just keep it simple. Don't stress yourself out. Just do better planning. Stop right there, Beth.
Excellent. Too much in life is already overcomplicated, you know, and that's why, you know, Beth's program is so important because, excuse me, by keeping it simple, what you can do is just take things step by step and you know, like you said, keep it simple. I like that.
Yeah. It helps reduce the noise, right? There's so much out there of what you should or should not be doing, and the whole goal is just reduce the noise, eat well, move on.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, there's one more. I said this is the last one for real. Regardless on what. I mean, faith comes from hearing, and people can always tell somebody else what they need to do with their life, standing on the outside looking in. That's great. Constructive criticism can be good. But the conversation that one needs to have nowadays is a one-on-one conversation with oneself. You heard me say it earlier, and I didn't just make it up. So is a man thinketh, so is he. What are you saying to you about you? Because regardless on what you're saying to you about you, you're telling yourself the truth. If you say, I can do it. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can.
So I know we've got just a few minutes left. We've talked extensively about my workbook. I'll make sure I repost it into the Facebook group. It's in the show notes. I'm doing website work this week anyway, so I'll just double-check that it's linked on my website too, which is WymanNutrition.com, if anybody's ever interested in checking that out. I'm most active on Instagram. My handle is BethWyman_RD, as in registered dietitian. So there's lots of other, you know, resources there as well to help keep you motivated, keep you on track, give you ideas. That's my whole goal.
Well, wonderful. Well, we just got the 60-second notice there.
Oh,
you know, but thank you. Thank you, everyone, for participating in the show. Thank you, Beth, for your knowledge and just your leadership in, you know, the work that you do has not gone unnoticed. I have really benefited a lot from just the information that you have shared, and I really do appreciate that.
We have to leave right now.
Ron has another therapy session, so
okay.
And it's early this today, earlier than normal. So With that, I'm going to say, don't forget, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern time, there are shows every day, and just wonderful information. With that, we will see you next Wednesday for another wonderful show, Nutrition Matters with Beth Wyman. With that, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.